Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Teresa Giudice gets a Lexus post-prison. Lisa Vanderpump turns stale. Bill Cosby faces the music. And returning co-host June Flory gives advice to celebrities in 2016 and shares some stories now. Let the ranting begin. We're here with the very first episode of 2016, and we're bringing back a former co-host, and we've heard a few on the panels before, but Granny June has not returned to the show since her inaugural episode. Granny, you're back.
Oh, I'm back. Yes. All I can say is Happy New Year to everyone.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people have reached out, and they wanted to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I have some old words of wisdom. I call myself the Sage of Coventry. And, you know, I'm going to talk about a few little things this year. Bring us back up to where we left off.
Yeah.
The last time we spoke, we were down in Florida. Now we're up in Rhode Island.
Yes. So if you're listening to the show, we are lying to you. We're not broadcasting from Hollywood, California. We're broadcasting from Coventry, Rhode Island for this episode. A special one. Let's talk about someone close to where we are, actually, in vicinity. Teresa Giudice. Down in New Jersey. Out of Danbury, Connecticut, and back home.
Yes.
And she got more than her family. She got a $90,000 Lexus.
Nice. Very nice. I mean, before she went into prison, they were bankrupt. What happened? All of a sudden, the house is paid for. There's no more mortgage on the house. She's got this $92,000 Lexus.
Yeah, the number keeps changing. It could be between $90,000 and $95,000. Not exactly a Toyota Corolla.
No, she needs a car, definitely. But, I mean, $92,000 car?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, she's become a real real movie star, practically. Nowadays, it seems as though if you do something wrong, you get out there and everybody looks at you and wants to know what you're doing. And, you know, you wonder what the world is all about. If you should stay on the beaten path or go off it a little bit, maybe that'll help you get noticed.
Maybe I need to get myself arrested in 2016.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, she put in a year there, and I guess she's got to stay at home for a while also. I'm glad that she got home to be with her family. But now her husband's got to go in for 3 years.
Yeah, in March. So they've got a short period of time. Now, there's a rumor, according to one of those rag magazines, that her and the husband are trying to get pregnant while he's, before he goes in.
Oh, really? Why? What's the reason for that? Don't they have enough problems?
Yeah, well, you alluded to it earlier that they went in with a lot of debt, $11 million worth of debt. And, of course, her lawyer was asked about the price of this car and where it came from. And he claims that, quote, they make money and that they can't claim who actually bought the car. Now, come on. Who do we think bought the car? Her husband.
Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Was it for Christmas? If he's going in for 3 years and she was only in for a year, when he comes out, what are they going to do for him? My God. They're going to buy him a truck, a car, and a house, maybe to celebrate his release?
Maybe they'll buy back that shore house that they lost. Who knows?
Mm.
So now that the house is out of foreclosure, Teresa's out of the clink, and then she's got a book coming out very soon.
Oh, who doesn't?
February 9th, 2016, right around the corner, Turning the Tables from Housewife to Inmate and Back Again. Granny, are you going to buy this book?
I don't think so. Because I buy a lot of books, and I have the author sign them and everything. But, you know, I think she's made enough money on this wrongdoing. I don't think it should be celebrated. You know what I mean? And not only that, when did she have the time to write this book? All these people write books. When the hell do they have the time to write them? They have somebody helping them write the book. They tell them stories and they write it down and make a book out of it.
Yeah, she supposedly made these little diary entries throughout her time in prison.
Yeah, probably.
But when a book is ready to come out, less than like 90 days after her release, not even?
Yeah.
And she's getting, it's not even 90 days. And
It's already set with a book date and everything.
I know. Not only that, I mean, I guess the people that were on her show with her, they must really realize now that she's the head honcho there, because everything stopped when she went into prison. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, they must feel a little bit of resentment towards her and say, you know, I wonder what, you know, she went in there broke, she came out rich. You know, it's a little bit hard to believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess she's going to go back with the housewives and they're all going to follow, and she's become a star. And they followed her while she was in prison. Yeah. And I guess she made out okay in there. I told you that she was going to make out fine in prison. I told you that, that she was going to make out fine. And she did.
Yep.
She knew how to keep a low profile and still run the show.
Oh, they said she ran the yard.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, hey, all I can say is maybe we should take some lessons from her.
I'm telling you. Who knows? How do I get arrested in this town? Anyway, let's take a look at another housewife on the opposite coast.
Yeah.
I need to rant about Lisa Vanderpump for 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Grant's Rant of the Day.
I've been watching her this season, which seems to be lacking in certain dramatical areas. I know it's not a word, but the dramatics are being downplayed, and I'm not about it.
Yeah.
When it comes to her behavior on the show, she's got a lot of comments and stuff like that against Yolanda, whatever, whatever. But I'm so tired of watching her play out in this lifestyle, though.
Yeah.
I've seen the swans, the dogs, there's alopecia, then there comes in with the small horses, and, you know, she's got the restaurants. And to me, it's just like, I'm just tired of it. I'm just really kind of tired of the traveling and all that.
Yeah.
To me, I feel... We've seen her now for, what, 6 seasons?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, all right, I understand who you are, where you come from, what you've got. I want to see something more fresh. You know, I just, the whole thing with the swans put me over the top.
Yeah, that was really something. I mean, that swan, I mean, it really didn't want to be in her arms, having her kiss it and all that stuff. It was getting, you know, really fretful there. And I felt bad for the swan. She's trying to make an impression on people that she loves these animals so much. Well, if you love them so much, leave them alone. Put them in the pond and let them swim.
I'm just tired of watching it. I'm tired of the antics. She's going to have the swans, but they have to be two gay swans. Like, to me, it's just like, all right, we get it. It's very over
and
the top.
And she's always referring to her husband and how many times he's running after her for intimacy.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks as though he's half asleep all the time. Come on, give me a break.
But, I mean, you know, and my mother mentioned, she said, well, you know, for some people, they're very familiar with her. They like to keep up with her. They want to see what she's up to. Like, she's like, you know, she has a following. But to me, she don't impress me much. I'm sorry. I'm just not that interested, nor am I invested in the LVP at the moment. Anyway,
well, I think she feels as though it's all about her, you know, it's all about her.
From one obnoxious person to the next, Steve Harvey made a huge mistake, and by now we all know the details, crowning the wrong person at Miss Universe, but... I am not a fan of his. What do you think of Steve Harvey?
I don't know. I don't know him that well. Yeah. I don't really care about Steve Harvey. And the first thing I found out about him was that he gave the wrong person the wrong crown. So, I mean, what the hell does that tell you? He should go back and hide his face in the shadows for a while for doing something as stupid as that.
Right.
Reading the wrong name. Come on.
I know. I mean, really, though, how ridiculous.
I don't know anything about Steve Harvey, and I really don't care about knowing anything more about him. After hearing that, I could care less. So Steve Harvey can go, you know, stay home for a while.
Now, this happened in 2015, but if this happened recently, I'd be awarding him the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
Oh, God, yeah.
Let's speak about Bill Cosby.
Oh,
you know,
Bill
very
Cosby.
Much in the news. Finally was arrested for one of the many sexual crimes that he committed against many women over many years.
Yeah.
The statute of limitations was down to days, and they finally got him.
Well, you know, this doesn't come as a surprise to me. Years ago, and I'm talking about 40 years ago. Now, that puts an age on me, but... About 40 years ago, something came out, and I'll never forget it because it impressed me so much. This young girl came forward, And she said that she had this affair with Bill Cosby. And she said he had a fetish. He wanted her to pull her hair back very tight from her face and put it in the back like in a ponytail or a bun. And that's the only way that he ever wanted to see her when they had, you know, intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, what a creep. You know, I mean, this guy was married. And I'm thinking, that impressed me so much at that time. And I was a very young person at that time. This is going back, as I say, years ago. And ever since then, I never cared for him. I couldn't stand him. To me, he looked like a dirty old man. And mm-hmm. everybody loved him. And I could never love him. I didn't want anything to do with him. After I read that, and it was the truth. I believed it.
Yeah.
And so when all this happened, I thought, finally it's coming out.
Another thing you knew before it happened, before it came to light, you know?
Exactly.
Another thing that you can read through.
And well, I never forgot it because it impressed me so much. And I thought to myself, you know, this man, really, finally they caught up with him. So I don't have any sorrowful feelings for him.
The only thing I will say is I think it's a terrible thing that they removed the show from all syndicated, you know, all syndication. It's no longer on the air because of all the people that worked on that show that collect residuals. Actors, directors, writers, those people that retired off of that show.
Well,
now
know,
they can't get any money because of his actions.
Yeah, but you know, it's the old rule. The good suffer for the bad. Mm-hmm. That's always the way it's been.
Yeah.
Even in classrooms. If somebody, you know, years ago, if they didn't behave, the whole classroom had to stay after, not just that one person.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I'm sorry for these people, but that's what happens. They suffered for him, and he should be even more repentful for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about advice that you'd like to give out in the new year to reality stars.
Yeah.
And those people in general who are just on TV and need a little bit of a reality check. Let's talk about what you might say to Lisa Rinna in the new year.
Lisa Rinna tries too hard to be liked by everybody. She overreacts to everything. Things that happen aren't that wonderful or awesome, but she opens her eyes and she puts up her hands and she opens her mouth and her eyes get wide and it's really overreacting, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like saying, when you relax, nobody's going to like you any more or any less if you don't do this. You know, just be yourself. Don't try so damn hard.
You think she's trying to just appeal to everyone?
Yeah, she wants to appeal to everybody. She wants to be liked by everybody, and that's impossible. And, you know, now she's starting to investigate this Yolanda and her illness. She did the same thing with Kim, with her alcoholism, you know. I think she's an alcoholic, and I think that we should get help for her. Stay out of it. Don't be talking now about Yolanda and her so-called Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it is Lyme disease. Maybe, you know, Lyme disease can go off into many different areas, too, of the body. So, I mean, why is she worrying now if this is a Munchausen syndrome? Stay out of it.
That's
your
advice.
None of your business. And don't try so hard to be liked by everybody. You're just making a fool of yourself. By wowing to
Reel
everybody.
It in, Rinna. Reel it in.
Yeah. Calm down a little bit, please.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned her, Kim Richards. Now, Kim is supposedly shooting a show with her daughter for $100K for Lifetime. Now, when I first heard this, I said, well, wait a minute. Not even a year ago, she came running away from reality TV and blamed it for everything.
Yeah.
Now she's right back in the saddle.
Well, the old dollar bill is calling her back. She's going to make money, but she better watch out because she can't take that much pressure. When she was on with The Real Housewives, she was only one of many. If she's going to be the prime character in this, she better be careful because this will be very stressful. And I think she's biting off more than she can chew. And God bless her, mm-hmm. and feel bad for her daughter. But I think it's mostly for the money. And mm-hmm. I hope that she is completely rehabilitated, because she really, really made a fool of herself on The Last Housewives.
Yeah.
And embarrassed her sister very much and brought out the family secrets. And I think a lot of these housewives like Kim Richards didn't plan on all this coming out. This was a family secret that Kim had this mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah.
But it all came out. So now we'll see what she's going to do on her own.
Yeah. I question if the show is needed. I mean, it's not going to be entertaining.
They figure that a lot of people will look at it because they're going to be inquisitive as to how she's going to act now. Is she going to go off the wall again? Is she going mm-hmm. to go nuts? Or is she going to be just boring? If she's going to be, you know. So they're going to look at it out of curiosity for a while.
Right.
For a while.
You know, another thing they're highlighting on the show is kind of, I guess, not really necessarily a rebuilding, but yeah, a little bit of a rebuilding with her relationship with one of her daughters.
Yeah.
One of the daughters kind of was like washing her hands of the mother, and so now they're kind of coming back and trying to, you know, draw lines again between the two of them and reconnect. I just don't know if it's needed. I mean, I really don't think that going on a reality TV show is a good way to strengthen a relationship.
No, it isn't, because most of these reality marriages, a lot of them have broken up because of these reality mm-hmm. shows. And a lot of them have said they blame it on the fact that they were in the reality show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I hope it doesn't turn into another Honey Boo Boo thing where the mother screwed up the daughter and now the mother's got her own program and the daughter's out in left field.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Now, would you do a reality show now or at any other part of your life?
No. No, I wouldn't, because I don't want to be accused of things that I haven't done. I don't want to be made to look bad if I haven't done anything bad. You know, they turn your words around. Mm-hmm. They really do. You have to be very careful, and it could ruin your reputation. I've seen that when I looked at that Unreal program.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was really something. I can't wait till it comes back, because it showed what really goes on behind the scenes mm-hmm. on a program like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it's really something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they put words in people's mouths. They take things out of context. They use scenes that happened for another reason and make it look like it was used for another bad reason. So, I mean, you can't win with these reality people.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful. But people do it. They think they're going to get famous and they're making some money. So if they want to take that chance, fine. But I don't want to. Not at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody would want me for a reality show anyway.
I think some people would disagree, but you know me, I'll do anything. I'll do one.
Would you?
I would. I'd like to do an ensemble one, though, where it's not all on me.
Yeah.
And I don't really necessarily need people in my house and in my bedroom watching me brush my teeth, but I will go to a nice party and look good. I will do that, and I will probably throw shade or have a nice cocktail on camera, but I don't need anybody, you know, watching me with my morning routine or anything like
no,
that.
No, absolutely not.
No, only good stuff. You know, send the black car to my house. I'll get in it and I'll pop a bottle and we'll go up into the hills. But beyond that, count me out of any
realist.
Yeah, but
that's not that's not the whole thing that happens. They'll drag you into something. Somebody will talk behind your back and say, well, you know what he said? He did this and he did that. And they'll get you all riled up. Mm. And then you'll have to prove that it wasn't so. And that's how they get you going and going. You get on that mill, that treadmill, you can't get off. You're stuck. Stay away from those reality shows.
I don't know. I'm still in.
It's ruined so many people's lives, really.
It has. We were just kind of commenting about this before we were taping today about the divorces and the housewives.
Yeah.
And even, you know, a lot of, they just don't end well, period. I mean, you know, that Taylor's husband to, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, there's just a lot of things that come with that. But see, I would do it independently.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, I wouldn't go on there to, like, you know, in a relationship or to find love on reality TV.
Oh, please. No. No, but it's true. I mean, that, you know, Adrian there, Maloof, she and her husband got divorced. Now he's got his spinoff Botched, which is absolutely, oh, I looked at that a few times. The blood and gore in that thing is worse than a murder mystery.
And they blur out the areolas, but you can see everything else.
Oh, it almost isn't
even worth it. At that point, you're watching these big gashes, these things going under the skin.
Oh, it's terrible.
What's some details on the boobs at that point?
Oh, God.
Really, at that point, when you're watching fat be sucked out of somebody and transplanted, what's a little boob? I mean, at that point.
Exactly. I mean, you know, come on. And I'm surprised that these women are even willing to go on these programs. You know, I mean, they go on these programs and they know they're being photographed. And some of them, really, I mean, they're grotesque.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that's happened to them is terrible. But anyway, I don't want to get on that subject again because I talked about that before.
Well, from the doctors of Botched to Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
What advice do you have for that clown? I mean, that doctor.
I look at Dr. Phil. I record him and I look at him.
We've had this conversation off camera all the time. Why do you look at that? Like, I can't even take it seriously. Like, I know sometimes you look at it and then you tell me you remove it from the DVR and then it's back on. What keeps bringing you back?
Well, because I'm interested in what happens to different people. It's amazing how some people have these problems in their lives and they're so ridiculous that it's almost like fascinating, you know? And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's not enough excitement in my life or something, but I enjoy, when I look at this, I'll say, God damn it, I don't have these problems. I'm lucky. I mean, people are so ridiculously, they put up with all this craziness in their families, kids that are ready to kill them, daughters that run off on drugs and then come back and they can't get them out of their basement. I mean, you know, come on. But Dr. Phil, I mean, I'm sure that he really wants to help these people. I don't know how far it goes as far as the health goes afterwards. I've never seen any of them really come back. Except one kid did come back, and then he relapsed again.
Oh, well.
But anyway,
he
has the habit. He has kind of a nasally, kind of a whiny kind of voice to begin with. And he gets these people up there, and they're kind of, you know, a little bit belligerent, you know, at first. And,
And he
gets so, so bossy with them. And he, you know, He's like, I can't think of the word I want, bullying. He kind of bullies them, you know?
Yeah.
He says, oh, you think you know the answers? Well, you haven't been to college like I have. You haven't studied as long as I have. And you think you're smart talking to me like that. Well, I got news for you.
He does always throw how long he's been in the business at these
and
people.
And of course, every time he mentions anything about his family, they got to pan over to his wife in the audience. And she's got to give the smile and the okay, you know, and agree with what he says or disagrees or whatever.
So the advice that you have for him, what would you say?
Well, he bullies people. And then he wears them down until they're all in tears. And then he's calmed down after he's bullied them into sobbing and all that and telling them they don't know anything because he's the one running the show. Then he offers them some kind of a treatment.
Or his book. Even someone strung out on drugs and he gives them a book.
Yeah, or he'll say, we got the best. Maybe they do. They have the best people to send them to these ranches and take care of them and cure them. And most of them do go. There were a couple that walked away that refused to go. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't win them over.
Yeah, not much.
But I'd say to him, if you want to do good by these people, which I think you do to a point, I know it's a show, but you don't have to get so damn bossy with them. You know, don't throw your weight around because you're the head honcho there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw your weight around with these people and bash them down until they're in tears. You know, it's like, I won again. I got this person down to my level now, and now I can tell them I'm going to give them help. Every one of his shows almost has the same theme, you know?
Which I could understand if that was his way of treating them to build, you know, to break them down, to build them back up.
Yeah,
but it never seems that successful to me. They, like you said, they reject rehab, they come back and relapse. I mean, so I don't know how effective it is.
I don't know. I can't say. I can't accuse and say that he hasn't helped people. Maybe he has. But I wish he wouldn't get so cocky. You know, mm-hmm. He throws his weight around and he cannot be questioned. If anybody suggests questioning his authority, he'll sit on them immediately.
Ooh, that's one thing I never want to have happen to me, be sat on by Dr. Phil McGraw.
So anyway, that's my advice to him. I look at his programs. If I think I'm going to enjoy the subject, I'll look at it. If it's going nowhere and it's just a foolish thing, I'll say, well, on this program, he's really scraping the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to shut it off.
Yeah. Well,
so that's as far as it goes with Dr. Phil.
Now, I understand you have advice for not my nemesis in life, Barbara Walters.
Oh, Barbara Walters. Well, I'll tell you. She had that program, the 10 most...
10 most fascinating rejects. I mean, 10 most fascinating people of 2015.
Yeah, I looked at it, and I wasn't the least bit impressed. First of all, it's my fault, but I really didn't care about any of the people she had on, you know? And she only interviewed each one from not even... I don't think it was even 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Each one, you know? And... she's really looking kind of frail at this point, you know?
I thought this woman retired like 5 years ago.
Don't you know nobody ever retires from show business? They never do. They always come back with a song. They always say it's the end, and then before you know it, there they are back again. They should know enough to just... stop when they should.
Well, that's always been my problem with her, because she, those last few years that she was on that View, she was talking backwards and left and right, but not even up on things.
No.
Wouldn't you want to go out as, and she'll be the first one to tell you that she's a living legend. So if you're such a living legend, know when to call it quits so you can go out on top.
Yeah,
Instead, you've
got to
hang out and be in front of the camera.
A lot of them do that. A lot of them make that same mistake. They all make that, and this, of course, this is the 100th birthday of Frank Sinatra. They had a lot of programs on about him, which were nice. They were nice. I was a fan of his. I thought he was wonderful, very talented. But there's another case that was sad. He should have quit when he quit, but he didn't. He said he was leaving, and he didn't. He waited a while, and then he came back. And that was a big, big mistake, because I went to see him when he came here, and it was sad.
Yeah.
He couldn't remember any of the words or the songs. He had to have big boards all around the stage wherever he stood with the words, so that he wouldn't forget them. And it wasn't him.
Yeah,
he made a big mistake by coming back, and that's what a lot of people do.
So can we agree with Barbara Walters that our advice to her is to just stop doing the 10 most fascinating people and just, you know, wrap everything up now?
We can tell her that, but she's not going to.
Well, I'm going to need her to take a break, for a while. I'm going to need her to do something else.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else, but maybe she could write a column. That way she wouldn't have to be seen.
Ooh, shady.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_rants. And now for the one-on-one.
So last time you were here, you told us your story about growing up, your goals and aspirations, and it seemed to really resonate with a lot of people that were listening to the show. So let's talk a little bit more about life and, you know, your thoughts on things. You've been around for a minute.
Well, life is good. Even at my age, it's still good. I can still see, hear, walk, talk, drive my car, take care of myself and my house, and enjoy life and my arts and crafts and stuff. But life has become very complicated.
Yeah.
It used to be so simple years ago. You know, when I was growing up, everything was simple. And in those days, when a man met a woman, he knew what he was getting because everything was real. Nowadays, with these reality shows, nothing about these reality shows is real. Everybody on these shows has all this Botox, fake boobs, fake butts.
Yep.
I mean, a man doesn't really know what he's getting today. You know, I mean, everything has changed so much. And, you know, the contestants on these shows, I mean, they've got these big lips and they look ridiculous. Why do they think that having these big lips is attractive? I don't get it.
I always think, like, people are going to look back on us in 200 years and say, oh, what a terrible time. Like, that was, people look like clowns. People thought that was like a delicacy to come in somewhere with a, you know, blown out lips and high cheekbones.
I really don't get it. And they have so much work done, and they brag about it. I would never give up my Botox, and nowadays, I mean, when girls graduate from high school, they don't get cars anymore. They get boob jobs, and the mother goes in with them, and they both have boob jobs together. What has this world come to? You know, youth is beautiful. And the girls today don't realize that. When you're young and you're fresh looking, you don't need any of this artificial stuff. It's there. You know, so maybe your boobs aren't as big as you think they should be, but they're you. Mm-hmm. They're real. You know, and if a man's going to like you, he's going to like you with the smaller ones or the bigger ones, whatever. I mean, there's always somebody that's going to love your body no matter how it is. Even if it weighs 400 pounds, somebody's going to like it. So, I mean, they don't realize that when they're young, everything is new and fresh. They don't need a lot of this makeup stuff and boob jobs and lips blown up and all that. They actually ruin themselves. So yeah. I don't know where it's all going to end. I really don't. But that's my, you know, that's how I feel about life. Now, I mean, youth is wasted on the young because from when they're young, they feel as though they have to run and get a boob job. Why? I don't know.
Well, there's a Dove selfie campaign that they had for a while about real beauty. And they've had it. There's another campaign on Instagram where women post pictures of their true body without their face, but like just in their underwear. Would you ever participate in anything like that?
Not at my age.
You can really show me what it's with, you know, a body that isn't worked over.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. When I see those programs like Botched, and I see these very young girls with these mutilated bodies from having all this work done, I say to myself, cripes, at my age, I got a better body than they do. I don't have any scars. I have a, you know, gravity's been pulling on it for so long that naturally it's going to sag a little bit. But when I see these young girls and what they've done to their bodies and the way they've mutilated them, I feel as though my body isn't that bad for my age.
Well, and you go to the gym, so.
Yeah, I really don't feel that bad about it. It's craziness today, the way they do all this stuff to their bodies with all that. When they go in there with those sticks and they...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, lipo sticks and all that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that that doesn't do some harm to your inner... How can it not do harm to your body parts inside?
Well, what gets me the most now is when people go in to get plastic surgery, they're going in for 3 and 4 different procedures. They're not going in just to get a new nose. They got to get the air pinning, then they're going to get a little fat transferred somewhere, and they're getting like while I'm under, do me completely up. Now, how can that be good for your body when you come out and you've got, you know, a liver missing, and then you've got, you know, all these injections all over your face, and your nose was just broken and replaced, and, you know,
I've got news for them. No matter how many times they have these operations and no matter how many Botox injections they get, someday they're all going to be old and they're not going to be able to fight it because time goes on and you can't stop it. So you can look good for a while, but after a while, all that stuff is going to sag even worse than if they didn't have it injected.
Yeah.
It's going to sag. It really is. It's going to be like an ice cube that just melts.
I mean, look at someone like Joan Collins, who's in, you know, mid to late 80s, looks great, and has famous for having nothing done.
Yeah.
You know, versus other people who have, you know, they're like wax figures.
Yeah, walking around, like, they are. Know, they
the
have
candles walking they
look
around.
Like, they look like little wax dolls, some of them. And you know damn well that their faces have so much Botox in them, they can't even hardly smile anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that I can't see, that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's no secret that you have a lot of stories to tell, and I hear them all the time, but I want to share a few with our listeners today. And I want to talk about a story that we both were involved in, and it's what brought me to California to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, you very much believed in me that I could make a transition and should be studying out in L.A. and, you know, had to do it. And there was a certain time in my life when it was either going to happen or it wasn't. I was attending another school, and you said, hey, I have a friend out in California. You should go and look at schools. And you know, without you coming, you know, I probably couldn't have done it.
Yeah, well, I was determined, and I said, you know, he really wants to be in California. That's where his goals are. And so I said to you, you know, if you really want to get to California and look at colleges, I got a friend that lives out there, and I can stay with her. And you can go with your friend that you know out there, and he'll take you around and look at colleges. Meanwhile, I can stay with her. And I haven't seen her in years, so it'd be a wonderful time. We can do two birds with one stone. So that's what we did. So I got out there, and I didn't know quite what to expect.
Me neither.
But anyway, when I got to her place, I was a little bit taken aback because there were so many things in the house. Every countertop, every shelf was taken with all these little giddy gadgets and figurines. And she had things out for every holiday. You know, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. Never put anything away. She just left everything out so she'd be ready for any holiday that came along. But the most tough part of it all was that she had these three huge cats. And I like cats, but jeepers crumb. I mean, I didn't know how to deal with these three cats because they were never let out. And they were going wild in this little tiny condo. They kept trying to get near the doors and get out. Anyway, they gave me this room, this nice big room with a single bed in there that I figured, oh, this is great. You know, I have my own room here. Anyway, when it came time to go to bed, I figured, well, good, the cats, they'll go out and I'll close the door. Oh, no, she said, you can't do that. This is their walkway to get out into the garage to go to their litter box. I said, oh, no, how am I going to escape these three animals? So I said, oh, wow, you mean I can't close the door? And No, they got to come through here. This is their path to get into the garage, to go into the litter box. Oh, okay. And they had to go through a closet in a hole in the wall to get to the litter box. Well, anyway, I get in bed, and the three of them are sitting on each side of the bed, one at the bottom, one at the all on the floor, gazing up at me. I was the new thing, you know. They didn't have any activity in that place. This was their entertainment. So I'm sitting there and I'm wondering, how in the hell am I ever going to go to sleep with these three big animals sitting around my bed? Well, anyway, I guess I was so exhausted that I dozed off. When I woke up in the morning, the biggest one was sitting on my chest. The other one was sitting on my feet. And the other one was on my belly. I had the three of them on top of me. Oh, my God. So and she had told me that the big one, the gray one that was sitting on my chest, she said, watch out for him because he bites. Oh, thank you. So I got this big cat on my chest, and I'm trying to pull him off, and his claws are pulling my nightgown along with him. Oh, I'll tell you, I had to put up with those three animals. One night, I said, I just can't have it anymore. So I said, I don't give two rats about this. I can't have these cats coming through here. And every time the only escape I had from that place was to go out a little sliding glass door that was in my bedroom. And it went out onto a little patio. And I'd go out there for relief. But those cats would be at that door. Every time I wanted to get out, I'd have to push them and push them. Anyway, one day the black and white one got out. Now this cat, he was a stray. And he was black and white, and I don't know what she called him, but his name should have been Guido, because he walked with his two front paws going outward like a gang leader, you know? And he walked just like some kind of a gangster. And I said, he got out, and I'm out there. I can't believe it. I'm out there in the middle of the street with the bowl, with the food, shaking it and calling him. And I see him in the distance jumping over fences and having a hell of a good time. Finally, I said, you know what? The hell with it. If he comes back, fine. If he doesn't, I don't have to worry about him. Because every night I have these three cats on top of me. Anyway, one night I said, I can't live with this anymore. So I said, I'm going to close the bedroom door. I have to have one night of sleep. Anyway, I closed the bedroom door, and the next morning, she said to me, oh, you can't close the bedroom door because they did their duty on the rugs over here. And I thought, oh, well, what can I do about this? Finally, the last night I was there, I guess she thought I had had it. She had her son put them out in the garage through the hole in the closet. One night, I trapped them in the closet. I couldn't get them in the hole, but I got them in the closet. And the closet was very flimsy. It was like mirrors, but they were very flimsy. All night long, those cats pounded and pounded and pounded on that mirror. I thought any minute they were going to break through and attack me. Anyway, this one last night, her son came to put them in the garage. And he had to push them through the closet and the hole. And they were spitting and growling and scratching. And I thought, oh, my God, what a way to live. But that was really some kind of an experience.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're going through all that. And I was staying in Orange County and looking at schools. And was up through L.A. and in Beverly Hills for the first time taking pictures. And then I ended the trip. Visiting, you know, her and staying with you so we could fly back to Rhode Island together.
Yeah.
And I remember getting out of the car after such a whirlwind trip, my first experience in SoCal, and having to put up with all that and just not knowing what the hell I got myself into. I didn't know. Oh. But I will never forget the look on your face when you got there. You were waiting outside for me to get there.
I needed a partner in crime.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then, of course, we went into the garage to do the wash. I wanted to do the sheets that we had used, and that's where the litter boxes were.
Yeah.
The smell in there drove me out. I couldn't stay in. I made you put on the washer and put the clothes in the dryer because I was ready to upchuck.
And I stayed on a little cot.
I know.
And you didn't tell me until I left that cot came from the garage.
But I didn't know how bad the garage was.
Oh.
That was quite an experience,
very
let me tell you.
Very much so, yeah.
That was the visit of the cats.
Yeah. Hey, it got me to where I am now, strangely enough.
That's true,
I'm willing to tell a tale.
That's when you found out about Chapman.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was worth it. Only for you would I put up with something. If I had known what I was going to be in for, I don't know if I would have done it or not.
Yeah, no.
But see, sometimes when you don't know, it's better off. You do it, and you get through it, and it works out.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to have a little faith and stuff.
What about some other trips that you managed to get through alive?
Oh, I've had so many trips that I just about got through alive. When we had the kids very small, and I was bringing up three kids, we didn't have any money. We didn't go anywhere special. And finally, it came to the point that my mother and my sister said, well, if you want to get away on a little vacation, we'll stay with the three kids so you can go to the Cape for a weekend. And, oh, geez, I thought that was wonderful. I thought I was going to, you know, Paris at that point. I couldn't wait to get away for 2 or 3 days. Well, anyway, we started out, we made reservations at this motel at the Cape. This is Cape Cod now in Massachusetts. And I was all hepped up about it and all excited about it. I had all these expectations. Anyway, we started off and we got as far as one of the roads going to the Cape, as far as the bridges at the Cape. There's two bridges, the Sagamore and the Bourne. Well, we didn't know it, but it was the 100th anniversary of the Bourne Bridge. And the Cape was loaded with people, cars, everything. Well, we were stuck in traffic for so long that in those days, we didn't even have any cell phones. We had to try and find a phone somewhere, you know, a public phone, to call the motel and tell them we're going to be late because we're stuck in traffic. And they said, well, we'll hold your reservation until 9 o'clock. After that, we can't hold it. Well, we figured, oh, we'll be there by 9 o'clock. No such luck. We were stuck in so much traffic for hours and hours.
Are you sure you weren't in L.A.?
Well, it could have been. Anyway, we went around and around, and we couldn't find any other place to stay. All the places were taken up, all filled up, no vacancies anywhere. Well, of course, at this point, Grandpa's going into fits. What did you have to come to this vacation for? You had to come in a hurry to get here. Look at what's happening. Well, that made me feel even worse. Anyway, we finally had to pull up on this highway with all these other cars. All these other cars were stuck with no place to stay. So we pulled up on this highway. And, of course, we were trying to sleep in the car, which is absolutely impossible. Yeah. You know, I couldn't get comfortable. Anyway, the whole night went by, and finally it comes to the dawn, just about dawn. And I really had to go to the bathroom in the worst way. So I got out of the car on the passenger side, you know, and there were a whole row of bushes. So I said, good, I'll go in those bushes and I'll be able to go to the bathroom. Anyway, I went over, got in the bushes, and I did what I had to do. And then when the light came up more, I realized that I was like only a few inches away from a 50-foot drop.
I didn't know this.
The bushes were not bushes. They were the tops of trees that grew 50 feet down. So if I had stepped back another 6 inches, it would have been see you later. I would have never come back.
Oh, what a cliffhanger.
That was the cost of going to the bathroom. Now, we get in the car and it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. So we're dying for some coffee. Mm-hmm. We're driving all around. Nothing was open yet. No coffee, no nothing. Finally, we found a little place and we had some breakfast. So then we pull over to the motel where we had the reservations. And they said, well, you know, we don't have anything open until 11 o'clock because, you know, nobody leaves until 11. So you'll have to wait till we get a room ready for you. So we said, oh, okay. So we're sitting in the car, half asleep, half dead. Finally, they said, okay, we have a room for you. So we go in. And there are two beds in the room. So we go in the room. The both of us are exhausted from not sleeping all night. So we get in. One gets in one bed. One gets in the other. All of a sudden, we hear this huge bang. Boom! And then another one. Boom! We were over the office where the people kept coming in and out of the office downstairs. And the door kept banging and banging and banging and banging. So we still couldn't sleep. Finally, we're just beginning to go off, and the door opens, and the maid comes in to clean the room. And she goes, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were still sleeping. She didn't realize that we hadn't been there all night. Anyway, we gave up. We got up. We got dressed. Well, let's go out by the pool. Well, it was so cold. The wind was so strong. It was raining half the time, and all the chairs around the pool blew into the pool. It was so, so windy. Needless to say, that was our first vacation away from the kids.
Mm. You know, I've never been to the Cape.
You're not missing much.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
And then I went with my friend, one of my friends and neighbors that I've had recently. Oh, I guess it was about 7-8 years ago. She had a camper up in Maine, and she kept asking me, please come with me, please come with me. I always go by myself, and I'd love to have somebody come with me, and I think you'd enjoy it.
Now, had you previously stayed in a camper at all?
No. But, I mean, I'm game for anything. I'll try anything once, you know?
Yeah.
So, finally, she talked me into it, and we went up there. And it was in a lovely area, right near a beautiful beach, and she said, oh, there's a pool at the campgrounds, and so anyway, we get up there, and she had this little tiny camper. I felt like I was living in a refrigerator. It was so small.
Mm.
And so we get up there, and I have to put the level on the kitchen sink because she's got to pump up both ends of the camper to make it level. Then she's got to hook up the hose for the toilet.
Mm.
Anyway, this isn't my cup of tea, but anyway. So time to go to bed, and I had to sleep in the little couch that they had at the back of the camper. They pull it out and it becomes a bed.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so she had all the sheets and everything up over the bed. She had them all up there folded and everything. She opened up the cupboard to take the sheets out, and we put the sheets on the bed. And then she went up to get the blanket, and all this mice litter came down with it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would die. It went all over the sheets and the pillow that I had to sleep on. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I don't know how this happened. I just cleaned everything. The damn mice must still be in here. Anyway, she gets the dustpan and brush, and she's with the dustpan and brush trying to brush the mouse droppings, and I'm saying, don't do that because it's going on. It's digging into the
fabric,
sheets.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm, yeah.
Anyway,
it's not very smart.
So that was that. That put the dampers on the sleeping arrangements. Needless to say, I didn't sleep much because I was afraid the mice were going to run over me while I was sleeping.
Yeah. And what did you do for entertainment?
Nothing. She had a little tiny television, and she brought all these little tapes of I Love Lucy. And she thought they were fabulously funny. Well, I had seen them hundreds of times. And, I mean, how many times can you laugh at the same thing?
Yeah.
And we'd have to close the doors around 6 o'clock because the mosquitoes were so bad that we couldn't sit outside because it was under all these pine trees.
Ugh.
So from 6 o'clock on, I had to sit in this little tiny camper. I felt like I was in some kind of a coffin or something because it was so tiny. Anyway.
Ooh, I don't do reruns, so I couldn't watch I Love Lucy on repeat.
Oh, God. I don't like to see anything more than once.
Me neither.
Once I've seen it, I've seen it.
I agree.
Anyway, she told me about this beautiful beach, and she said, you know, the tram comes and picks you up every day, and you can go down to the beach and enjoy it, and the beaches there are beautiful up in Maine. So she said, I'll come with you the first time to show you, you know, how it goes. So we pack up everything the next day, and I thought, oh, great, this is wonderful. I can at least escape over here. Anyway, we get on the little tram there that takes us down to the beach, but she didn't tell me that you have to walk almost a mile from where the tram lets you off to get onto the beach.
What the hell's the point of that?
So, you know, you're trying to carry your lunch, your umbrella, your chair, and all this stuff, and you got to walk and walk, and then you got to go over a bridge, and then you got to walk some more, then you got to go up a hill, then you finally come down onto the beach. So that kind of put the clampers on going to the beach. And then she said, well, you know, there's a beautiful pool here.
Oh, you should have even bothered.
There's a beautiful pool here. You can go. I thought, oh, that's good. Instead of going to the beach, I can sit by the pool. Well, I go over to look at the pool, and it said, adult swim time, 1 to 2. All the rest of the time was for the kids. So I said, oh, really? 1 to 2. So that took care of that. So needless to say, I stayed there with her for almost 10 days. By the time I came home, they could have laid me out in lavender.
I do remember getting a frantic call from you on that trip. And it was like halfway through, and you're like, I think I can do this. But you did. I remember complaining about the nights. I don't blame you. I'm not good having to be inside from 6 o'clock till bedtime. That's prime time. Like, you know how much you can get done in that time?
It was awful. Mm. One night I talked her into going to this little theater that was near there, and it was horrible.
Have you had any good vacations?
Yeah, I have since then. Yeah, I mean,
I know you've been abroad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Went to Italy twice. That was great. I went down to Florida with my friend Teresa. She wanted to sell her mobile home down there, and nobody could get her to sell it. So I said to her, look, I'll go with you. I'll help you sell it. So she said, oh, you will? Great. We can stay at my mobile home. It won't cost us anything. I said, oh, okay, good, because I was very short on money. Anyway, we take the flight down to Florida, and we get there. Our flight was delayed, so we got there late, and I had never driven in Florida before, but we rented a car, and I thought she would be helped to find where we were going to stay in this motel for the first night until we could stay in her mobile home. Anyway, it got dark, and she didn't know any of the landmarks. And I was driving practically blind. It's a good thing I looked at the map because they didn't have any GPS in those days. So the only thing she recognized was the flea market. So, oh, there's the flea market. Well, we're near the flea market somewhere. Okay. So we finally find the motel.
It was the motel or mobile home?
It was a motel. It was Motel 6. No, it wasn't Motel 6. It was, I can't
Best
think
of Western or something?
No. No. Anyway, we get there. It was the lousiest room you ever wanted to see.
But so you were staying at the motel first?
Yeah. Then we were going to go to the mobile home. Anyway, the next day we drive over to the mobile home. The whole thing is completely trashed. It was a mess. She said, oh my God, I can't go in there. I don't want to see them. What happened to it? You go in and look. See how bad it is. Well, it was real bad. I mean, all the windows were smashed. All the appliances were broken. They had started a fire in the middle of the kitchen floor. The toilet was broken. Everything was a mess. So I said, no, I don't think we're going to be able to stay here. We're going to have to stay at the motel. Well, anyway, we went back to the motel, and she had one neighbor that she knew there, and she asked the neighbor if they would go in and clean up the place for her, because it was a mess, and they said that they would.
Well, that's nice of them. I couldn't be bothered.
She was going to pay them. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they were kind of shady characters. So they did go in, and they cleaned up all the glass and stuff like that. And we went to a realtor, and the realtor said that she would try to sell it for her. I don't know what the heck she could get for it, but it came with a piece of land. It wasn't on leased land. Anyway, she had a fight with the realtor because the realtor called us up during the day to talk to her, and of course we were out because we weren't going to stay in the motel room all day. And she said, she had an argument with her, and she said, forget it, I'm not going to sell it anymore. I said, yes, you are. You're not going to go home without putting this on the market. Anyway, we go back to the place to pay them for cleaning the house. They lived in a street or two away from the mobile home. We go back there to pay them for cleaning. First, she had to go check and make sure that they had all the bags out in front and everything that they cleaned. We go back, and she's there talking and talking and talking with them. And I'm saying, what the hell is she talking to them about now? Anyway, they talked her into buying what they told her was a diamond ring for $50. She comes back to the car and she says, what do you think? do you think that they want to sell me this diamond ring for $50? I said, $50? I said, that doesn't look like a diamond to me. Well, she said, yeah, it could be. It looks like a diamond to me, and it's only $50. I said, okay, do whatever you want. Anyway, she comes home with the ring. That night in the motel room, the stone falls out of the setting. It was just glued in there. And it wasn't a diamond. It was just like a fake diamond. Well, she went crazy. She wanted to go back and get her money back. Well, the next day we drive back there, and I sat in the car, and she's over there yelling at the guy, and I thought any minute I was going to hear gunshots.
Yeah.
They told her that they had spent the money. They didn't have the money. Anyway, she threatened him and threatened him to the point that he did pay her the $50. She got it back. But honest to God, with her, it was one thing after the next. I drove her to the mall, and she wanted to buy her daughter some perfume. And so we get to the mall. She buys the perfume. When we get back to the hotel room, she said, this says toilet water. I don't want toilet water. I want perfume. I'm not paying. Take me back to the mall. I got to change this for perfume. Well, I said, you know, maybe you didn't pay for perfume. Maybe you did pay for just toilet water. Why don't you call up and find out? I had no intentions of driving her back to that mall to find out. She was unbelievable, I'm telling you. But we had a pretty good time in spite of it all. And she did, finally, I made her list the house with Remax. And that house was sold within a month. And I think she only got like $15,000 for it, but she's damn lucky she got that, the condition that it was in. So that was the story with her. And that's not the end of the story. The last night we were there, we were in bed. It was about 11 o'clock at night. The phone rings in the room. And I answered it, and it's this guy at the front desk. And he said, you owe me another day's rent. I said, no, I don't. I paid everything up front when I got here. No, you don't. You owe another day's rent. I'm going to call the police and have you thrown out if you don't come and pay it. I said, what? This is ridiculous. It's 11 o'clock at night. We're leaving tomorrow morning. We're going to sleep. No, you're not. I'm going to call the police if you don't come and pay that rent. So I said, what should we do? He said, we owe him another day's rent. We don't owe him anything. Anyway, with our bathrobes on and our slippers, we walked the whole damn length of the parking lot because we were way in the back of the motel. And we get up to the front office. This great big guy is in back of the desk. And there was this one man in there arguing with him. And when he left, he said, I'm going to report you for this. So this guy was pulling off some kind of a scam. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we get up to the desk, and I said, I don't owe you anything. Yes, you do. You want me to call the police on you and have you I'll put you out on the sidewalk right now. And I said, well, what do you, and Teresa's saying to him, don't you yell at her. So he's saying, you owe me this one night's rent or I'm going to call the cops. I said, look to her, don't argue with it. Let's just pay it and we'll forget about it. So I had to pay another day's rent. Mm-hmm. And this was at Days Inn down in Port St. Lucie, Florida. So I'm telling anybody about this. I don't know if that guy's still there. I got his name, and I wrote to the Days Inn head office and told them, this guy is pulling off scams with people. On the last night that they're there, he's threatening to throw them out and call the police if they don't pay for another day that they owe him. And do you know, I got no satisfaction. Days Inn headquarters wrote back to me and said, we can't do anything about it. Each one of these Days Inn is run privately. They're all owned by other people. They go under the name of Days Inn, but they don't really, they're not really, they're all franchised to other people. So that was how our trip ended, walking through the parking lot in our nightgowns and slippers to go pay another day's rent that we didn't owe. So that was it.
That sounds like a terrible experience. The whole thing. Nothing. There's no redeeming qualities about any of that trip.
No, the only good thing about it was they had a nice pool there, and I went in the pool.
Well, at least somebody had a good pool for you to use.
Yeah, that was it. Yep.
Well, I think the lesson that we can get from all these stories is, like you mentioned earlier, just to set your expectations in a realistic position.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Words from the sage.
Yes, because if you get your hopes up so much and you're looking forward to it so much, it's bound to always have some kind of a disappointment in it. Not all the time, but most of the time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But I've had some great trips, too, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Granny, for telling us some good stories, stuff that I didn't even know about. And I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did. Now, if you want to hear more from Granny and myself, you can check us out on YouTube at Grant's Rants Video Blog, where we take a little drive and we discuss some hot topics that didn't make this show. This is a little different experience. Perhaps you've seen some. There are other video rants with Granny and myself on YouTube from years past. So check that out. Google Grant's Rants June Flory on YouTube and you'll find those video rants.
Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at JuneBug1929.
Sounds good.
Don't forget.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.